Now, let's talk a little bit about, before we get into Deuteronomy 8, we may go to some other scriptures, so if you're there, hold your place there. But let's talk about some of the enemies within. Okay? Some of the enemies within. Now, the Bible and the New Testament talks about those who say they are Jews and are not. Now, if you want to do a little research on that, you can look up Esau, Edom. There's a book out by that. And you will see that there are a lot of people who contend that they are Jews and are not, but are actually of the house of Esau. And these are basically the ones who have been plotting against the best interests of America and Britain and Western Europe. And these are also the ones who are high in the banking order in the world internationally, along with the Catholics. Now remember, the Catholics are also, have been since the beginning of this nation, trying to take it down, trying to reconquer the UK. They just about have that accomplished. They've just about destroyed completely the Episcopal Church, especially in England. That has been a goal since the day that Henry VIII got rid of the connections with the Pope. And they have been trying, and they tried valiantly to kill Queen Elizabeth and to retake England with the Spanish Armada. And God dealt the death blow to Spain and the Spanish Armada, and Spain has never recovered to this day. So a lot of those people that say they are our friends and they want to help us, they are not. We have many organizations, fronts for the enemies in America that lust after this land, that lust after the blessings that God has given to Joseph. So let's come back here to, first of all, Genesis 49. And let's look at the blessings that God promised. And when we read this, let's think about America, Britain, Northwestern Europe, and let's think about how that all of these things follow the blessing that we read that was given to Jacob in Genesis 27. Now, we won't go through all the 12 sons, but suffice to say that we have discovered, thanks to Bob Carter, that there, and we've checked it out, that the copyright for Judah Scepter Joseph Birthright is completely open. Anyone can publish it at any time. So we could take that book and we just put in there that this was published by then. The copyright has now run out, and whoever publishes it can publish it. And the only thing we are copyrighting in this book are the things that we have added to it, because then we can add to it. And we can come out with a book which will go through the whole thing concerning the blessings to Joseph. So let's pick it up here concerning Joseph. Well, let's go back to Genesis 48. Let's continue the thread here and understand this. This is not in the Bible just a mythological story. This is historical background for us to know concerning where we are today in the end time and what God has been doing down through history. We need to understand that. And if you don't have the book, Judah Scepter Joseph Birthright, we now have it online digitally, and you can download it bit by bit if you don't have a broadband, because it's about 300 or 400 pages. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 9, Genesis 48. This becomes an important thing because it affects the events in the world today. Now, here again is an official blessing that God gave to the sons of Joseph. Verse 9, Joseph said to his father Jacob, who was also blind. Isn't it interesting that Jacob became nearly blind in his old age, as was Isaac? These are my sons whom God has given me in this place. Now let me just clarify this. Though Pharaoh gave to Joseph the daughter of the priest of On to him for his wife, she was undoubtedly white because at that time Egypt was very diversified like we have in the United States today. So if you married an Egyptian at that time, you're not marrying a black because you have all the races there. Just like today, if you marry an American, you could marry any of the races, not necessarily white. See? So because God would work it out so that the Anglo-Saxons would have a bloodline from those who would be from the white race. Now, for people to say that, oh, that's racist. Well, my answer is this. Every time I meet someone of another race and they have to call up the fact of their race, you know I'm this, you know I'm that, and yes, I can tell by looking at you what you are, I will answer them this way. Now that you've said that, how would you like me to bring up to you, every time I talk to you, that I'm white? Would that offend you? Yes. Well, then don't tell me what your race is, because I can understand that. But you see, if you bring up anything concerning whites, that's racist. See? Why? Because of the curse that is upon us for rejecting God. That's why. The comment was made, Anwar, Sadat's Egyptian wife was very white. Good comment. Whom God has given me in this place, and he said, bring them to me and I will bless them. And the eyes of Israel were dim for age, and he could not see. And he brought them near to him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought I would see your face. Now remember what the brothers of Joseph did, and for 17 years they upheld the evil charade that Joseph was killed by a wild beast, and they viciously, in jealousy and hatred, sold him to the Midianites who were going down into Egypt. But nevertheless, God's blessing is not going to be stopped because of human action, one way or the other. Let's go on. And lo, God showed me also your offspring. And Joseph brought them out from between his father's knees. Now, when you bring children between your father's, between his knees, that is symbolic of saying, these are the same as my own begotten from where between your knees you know what comes. So this is an official act. And he bowed his face to the earth. That's why he did, because he knew how important that this was. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, rather, toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near to him. Now, he was doing this deliberately, because the firstborn is to be on the right hand, correct? Yes. And Manasseh was the firstborn. That's why he did that, because he knew what blessing was coming. Verse 14, and Israel stretched out his right hand, the superior blessing, of the firstborn, to be laid upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was firstborn. Now, the only flag in the world that has an X on it like this, the crossing of hands, is what flag?
Britain.
Union Jack. The Union Jack. And it goes back to this place right here. Now let's read on. Verse 15. And he blessed Joseph. Now this is Joseph, then his two sons. So we actually have three that are blessed. So whenever you read in the rest of the Old Testament concerning Joseph, that has to do with Ephraim and Manasseh. And when you come to Revelation 7 and the 12,000 from Manasseh and then the 12,000 from Joseph, Ephraim bears Joseph's name. So that's why it's that way. All right, back here. And he blessed Joseph and said, May God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who fed me all my life to this day, the angel who redeemed me from all evil, blessed the lads. Let my name be perpetuated in them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now the Jews cannot claim that. They are not a multitude in the midst of the earth. They are not a military and economic power as United States and Great Britain and Canada and Australia combined all together. The Jews who claim that they are all Israel are liars and reject the truth of the Bible. Now, order them for them to understand God and where they are, they need to do two things. Stop being arrogant and claim all the blessings to the 12 sons for themselves alone, saying, we are the chosen people, and they need to accept Jesus Christ as the true Messiah. Now, when they do that, the curse will be lifted from them. Not until. Now, the Esau Jews among the genetic Jews have a hatred toward any of the genetic Jews who would embrace the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. And there was a Bible quiz, and the one who won it in Jerusalem under the auspices of the Orthodox rabbis, she won it, but she was rejected because she believed in Jesus as the Messiah. You cannot live in Israel, get citizenship to live there if you believe in Jesus. So their day of repentance is going to have to come. The events in the prophecy, God is going to force upon them, and they will repent. But that's just the truth of it. Now, some people may not like it said that plainly, but that's where it comes from. And it needs to be. And every Jew that I have met that has done that, who has truly yielded themselves to God the Father and Jesus Christ, have understanding and have been blessed because God is no respecter of persons, but you cannot, I don't care who you are, Jew, Gentile, Arab, if you have a visceral hatred of Jesus Christ, you cannot ever expect to receive blessings from God. It's just that way. And that's not a racist statement. That's God's way of doing it. Now, here the physical blessings for national greatness were given to Ephraim and Manasseh. This is important to understand in the things that we are looking at, and we'll talk about all of the natural resources that God put in America. God created everything that there is on the earth, correct? He gave the Arabs all the oil. And what is their vision of heaven? Like a hideaway in the mountains of America, right? Springs, waters, virgins. All right, let's go on here. Verse 17, and Joseph saw that his father had laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, and it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's hand, head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He shall also, that is Manasseh, become a people. He shall also be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And God blessed it. That's why the United Kingdom was called the British Empire, and later the British Commonwealth. Never has there been an empire like that in the world, not even the Roman Empire, because of the blessings of God. And he blessed them that day, saying, in Israel, in you shall Israel bless, saying, God make you like as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And what is the goal of every nation today? To become like America. To become like Britain. And he put Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said to Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. And I've given you one portion above your brothers. So this was all written out. This is like a last will and testament. This is official deathbed business. See? Which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Chapter 49 and verse 1. And Jacob called his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you what shall happen to you in the last days. Prophecy of the end time. Now, we won't go through all of it, but let's come down here to Joseph in verse 22. Now, as I read this, I want you to think about the nations of the world in the end time. And let's say the end time for the nations, not referring to the end time of prophecy, but the end time, the last days, when God began to deal with Ephraim and Manasseh. And why did we have the revolt against the crown of Britain? And we succeeded. And one of the instigators of the revolt, John Adams, came and stood before King George. Did not bow or curtsy, but gave an eloquent speech as to what an honor it was to be the first ambassador to the United Kingdom or Great Britain at that time, and to stand in the presence of the king after the settling of this matter. And King George was so moved. Now, if you can watch that on John Adams, it's been on over and over and over again. And Dolores has watched that but that was absolutely sensational. Dolores called me and said, Fred, get away from your baseball game and come and watch this. So I did. He bowed and curtsy. Yeah. Oh, he did bow and curtsy, but out of respect. Beg your pardon, I didn't see that. I didn't get back there in time. But I heard the speech that he gave. And King George was so moved that he gave an eloquent response to him as the monarch. And he said, I am glad that the issue has been settled in such an amicable way. And I appreciate your kind words toward us, and may our brotherly relationship continue. Something to that effect. Not quite, but something to that effect. So here we have to Joseph. Now notice, verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall, the expansion of the British Empire. The archers have fearlessly attacked him and shot at him and hated him. So Britain and America have always had wars. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And when I read that, I think about the movie Zulu. How many of you have seen the movie Zulu, where the British troops held back well over 5,000 of the Zulus? 150 British soldiers altogether. It's like God said. And they won the battle. So great was that battle, and I think the movie was well done, that the Zulus, when they thought, oh, here comes the last attack and slaughter, and it showed, it, I think it was very well done. Here it shows a shot of the hill down, from down in the valley where they had been fighting the Zulu, and here they saw all the Zulu lined up across the top of that hill. And there were their whoom, whoom, whoom. And then they gave a salute to the courage of those men and left. And that had to be because of the promise right here. Comment was made that just before that at Lossawana that the British had suffered their worst defeat in the history of the South African campaign. Well, it's just like with America and the Indian Wars. We have exactly the same thing. God determined to give this land to Manasseh and to get rid of the Canaanites that were here. Plus, in America today, we can say that in America, we have parts of all the 12 tribes of Israel here in America, which fulfills a prophecy that God gave concerning Israel. But let's go on. Okay, I won't finish this if we don't go on here. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. That's why you need the book, Judah Scepter, Joseph Birthright. You won't understand that until you do. By the God of your fathers who shall help you, may the Almighty bless you with the blessings of heaven above. Good climate, rain, so forth. Blessings of the deep that lie beneath. The blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of your father are greater than the blessings of your ancestors. To the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills, they shall be upon the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him, the ruler, the leader who was separated from his brothers. Isn't that true? Doesn't USA and UK lead all the rest of the brothers of Israel today? Yes, indeed. All right, let's come to Deuteronomy 33. We will get to Deuteronomy 8 here in just a minute. Deuteronomy 33, and let's read the blessing that was given by Moses upon Joseph. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 13. Now remember, all of this was inspired of God. And of Joseph he said, remember Joseph is Ephraim and Manasseh, blessed be the Lord, blessed of the Lord be his land. And every time anything is said about the land of the United States of America, they say it is the most blessed land in the world. And we have fed the world. We have kept them alive. We have given them money. We have fought their battles. We have overcome their enemies. Yes. With the precious things of the heavens, for the dew, for the deep that couches beneath. What's the deep beneath? Gold, silver, precious jewels, oil, copper, brass, steel, iron, coal, in abundance. For the precious thing of the fruits of the sun, and the precious things of the yield of the months, and the chief things of the ancient mountains, and the precious things from the everlasting hills. For the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, for the goodwill of him who dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him who was separated from his brothers. His glory is like the firstborn of his bull, and his horns are like the horns of the wild ox. rocks. And isn't that interesting? What's one of the symbols of Britain? An ox. What's the symbol of the greatest stock market in the world today? The bull. Yes. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And didn't we rescue the world in World War II? Yes, indeed. And in other wars? Yes, indeed. Look what the British did when they conquered and developed their empire. Think what India would be today without the British being there. In their awful and terrible, degenerate religion and worshiping of every evil thing under the sun. They brought them civilization, they brought them English language, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. Now let's come to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. We're going to see a warning that God gave, and a warning that has taken that is actually being fulfilled today because we have forgotten God. Now, there was a time you could look back, and especially this. You look at the founding papers of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights of the United States, and people look at that and say, oh, this is the most perfect government that man has ever come up with, which it may be. However, it's not the perfect government of God. That's the mistake that people make. Though they have accredited it to God, it is not the kingdom of God. But nevertheless, God blessed them. Not because of who we are, because we deserve it, but because, as God said repeatedly over and over again, my promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And this is another reason why the world hates us, because they look at us and see today, how can these degenerate people, which we are, have so many blessings, and we're over here in our land suffering, we ought to have them for ourselves. Okay. Now, Deuteronomy 8 is very important. Start out here in verse 1. Sometimes you just read the words of God and you get a greater message than just trying to preach ideas. Okay? But here's the message. All the commandments which I command you this day, you shall be diligent to observe and to do, that you may live and multiply, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 1, and go on and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Now notice all the commandments. And what did Protestantism say? Yes, Lord, all of them, but the Sabbath. So that came back to bite them, because you don't know God unless you keep the Sabbath. But nevertheless, in spite of that, because of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he blessed us. But remember, when there's sin, he takes it away. And that's what we are seeing happening now. You shall remember all the way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, to prove you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. That's why we go through all the things that we do and all the trials that we do spiritually, because it is, do we love God with all our heart and mind and soul and being? Do we want to keep the commandments of God always under all circumstances or not? He humbled you, he allowed you to hunger, and then he fed you with manna, which you didn't know or understand, neither did your fathers know it, so that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. That's the whole lesson of it. Your clothing did not wear out on you, because there was not Macy's and Target and J.C. Penney's and Walmart out in the wilderness. Nor did your foot swell these 40 years. And you shall consider in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. And you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God brings you into a good land. Now, that's when they went in to inherit it. And let's think about it. When the settlers came across America, what did they have in their hands? They had a Bible. And they understood this was God's land. And they understood that God was giving it to them. And they understood the blessings when they would stand up there and look out over the valleys filled with woods and trees and streams and wildlife. And when they got to the Great Plains, they found this great, wonderful place to grow. It turned out to be the greatest breadbasket in the history of the world. They understood that. A land of brooks of waters, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land in which you shall eat bread without scarceness until now. Isn't it interesting? We're all fat and sassy and full, and what's happening? Price of everything's going up. Are we going to have rationing? Maybe we'll have abundance for a while longer. We don't know. But think about that. And you shall not lack anything in it. You think about that. What do you lack? Nothing. God holds us responsible as a nation and as a church when we don't lack anything. And then we turn our backs on God and we accept false prophets and we accept false doctrines and as it were, kick our foot against Christ. Now, I was thinking about that the other day. I've got a car that has a seat warmer. My 1994 Infiniti, which I got for $8,400. And I got in there, and I had the seat warmer on. It was a cold morning. And I was driving down to the office, which is 0.2 miles from the house. I have a long commute. And the tush warmer was on. That's the woman's side, too, you know. That was on my side. And it felt nice and warm. And I thought, oh, God, thank you for such just a little thing, you know. Lack nothing. You want something to eat? Go to the store. Get whatever you want from anywhere in the world. You want some clothes to buy? Go wherever you are. You want gadgets to buy, cars to buy, machinery to buy, whatever. You shall not lack anything in it. It is a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you may dig copper. And when you and think about the Kennecott Copper Mine in Utah, and then there's one up in Montana. It is a mile deep, and they have been digging out copper in there for 70 or 80 years, and they get copper and gold and silver out of that thing. And think about the diamond mine up in Canada. They just mine them over and over and over again. And in South Africa, think of the gold and things down in Australia, and the oil and the coal and everything. It's amazing. Okay, now notice a warning. So here it is today, and we're seeing this today. We are, as Deuteronomy 31, Jeshurun waxed fat. When you are eaten and are full, and I think about this quite often, when I eat and taste, have something that's great and good and wonderful, then I get full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments. And that's what we are doing today. That's why the enemies are rising up against us. That's why Esau is going to come out from underneath the yoke of Jacob, like we read back there in Psalm 83. His commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you this day, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and live in them. Next time you drive through the cities with all the houses, think about that. When I was in Australia, I saw the same thing. New Zealand, the same thing. Canada, the same thing. God holds us responsible. And live in them. You know, I don't know about your home. If it's cold, We turn on the thermostat and it heats up. I mean, how many of you have to go out and cut your wood, cut down a tree, cut your wood, store it up for a year, and that's how you heat your house? We have everything at our fingertips, and if it isn't at your fingertips, you can use your fingertips to call it and order it and have it delivered to your front door. Anything you want. Okay? Now notice, verse 11. We read that. Verse 12, we read that. And live in them. Verse 13, when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then you become haughty of heart and you forget the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness with fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought forth water for you out of the rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, so that he might humble you, that he might prove you to do your good at your latter end. Now, not only that, think about that spiritually. Why do we go through everything that we go through? Some of them are our own making, some stupidities, but God still rescues us from them one way or the other, doesn't he? Yes. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power, how great I am, and the might of my hand, I've done this without God. The ingenuity of the American people has gotten me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for he it is who gives you the power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers to this very day. And it shall be that if you do forget, at all forget the Lord your God, and walk after other gods, serving them and worshiping them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish, yes, perish, as the nations whom the Lord destroys before your face, so shall you perish because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Quite instructive, isn't it, huh? When you project that into today's society, what are we doing? Rejecting God, kicking him out of the government, out of all of the lives of everyone as quickly as we can, and still expect God to bless us. Why do you think we have such upset weather today and difficulties? Now they said, oh, we had a global warming. Now we don't have global warming, we have global cooling. Well, that's just a short cycle that happens. Well, what about global warming? Was that not a short cycle, you see? So you have all of these things, and we're not looking to God as those things of correction. We're looking to it as men who are doing these things. Not so. That's why when Christ returns, he's going to have to split the heavens open, shake the heavens, shake the earth, shake everything that is here to get the attention of men because they don't believe God. Now, this is not the sermon that I intended to bring, but nevertheless, apparently is the one that God wanted me to bring. So what we need to do is understand why we have the problems that we have. Let's just finish with one other thing. Let's come here to Revelation, the third chapter. You know exactly where I'm going, because the church, not only is the nation in trouble, but the church is also in trouble and has turned its back on God. And I think about the state of the church today, and every time I think about it, I can't help but sometimes just cry. The silliness of the brethren, the stupidity of the ministers, the hatefulness, the arrogance, the things that they have done to the brethren, and turning their back on God and exalting themselves and just plowing over people's lives as if they're just so much fodder for the cattle. See, so we have two very sad situations here. Let's pick it up here in verse 14, Church of the Laodiceans, because it affects the church. And to the angel of the Church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginner of the creation of God. See, we're not dealing with a religion. We're not dealing with a 12-step program to make you a better person. We're dealing with Almighty God who has called us to eternal life. Says, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then because you're lukewarm and are neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because we have the same attitude of the warning that came that God gave back in Deuteronomy 8. For you say, I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not understand that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, because you, when you look at all of the good things around you, you fail to really comprehend the evil of the human nature that we still have. See, that's why we need to repent every day. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold purified by fire that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and to anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. Because he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. This is what we need to do. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. We're close to the end. How far we have to go, we don't know. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, so you've got to change your mind, you've got to repent, you've got to open the door of your mind to Christ, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now this applies doubly to all of the Protestants out there who think they have it made and are waiting so they can be taken and not left behind. This applies to all of the ministers of Protestantism and evangelicalism that are out there robbing, stealing, taking, building their power base, preaching against the commandments of God. You need to wake up and change your lives. You need to repent before God yourself, because God is going to shake this nation and bring the forces of correction upon it, that if you think we're having troubles today, you haven't seen a thing. But you need to realize there is hope if you really turn to God the way that you need to turn to God. God Almighty exists, Christ exists, and he's dealing in our lives. And he is not going to play hanky-panky or pitter-patter with any one of us. We need to repent and get right with God, every one of us, beginning with me and everyone that can hear this message, regardless of who you are, where you are, what church you belong to. You get out your Bible, you open it up here to this, and you start confessing your sins to God and turn to God with all your heart. And that's the most that you can do to save this nation and save the church. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.